Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 207, The Elysian Star, read and recorded by Mitchell Two. Audio editing and post-production by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, a new start might not turn out to be new at all. Dorian was suddenly hit by a wall of sensation. Warmth, cold, pain, pleasure, sweet, sour. Salty, buzzing, roaring, crunching, static, smooth, rough. All crashed in at once, demanding attention. Her mind struggled to organize the tsunami into a coherent experience. Finally, Dorian opened her eyes and found herself lying in a garden, bathed in blue-white light from the painfully bright orb of a nearby star. It flamed against the transparent panels of a dome high overhead, casting lengthening shadows which hinted at the approach of evening. Just lie still and try to relax your mind. It's always a bit rough when you first transition in. An unseen voice advised. What should I call you? Dorian struggled with the mechanics of spoken language and the concept of a name. I know it's disorienting. We all experience it. At first, it's hard to get the integument's built-in reflexes under control. The integument frees and spasm until the integration is complete and the download takes over motive operations. It makes it easy to spot new arrivals. They literally look awkward in their temporary bodies.
Dorian.
Dorian finally managed to choke out. Gaining more control, she realized she could command her integument to change direction and had it turn toward the source of the spoken words. Dorian wasn't sure if its reaction was an emotional echo from the last occupant, or if the organics had some inherent form of basic independent memory. She assumed the latter, as that would make integration faster, and time was limited for a download. Dorian, like all downloads, only had a few days in the physical realm to strengthen the tenuous patterns of their consciousness, so it made no sense they would be forced to spend valuable hours learning the surprisingly complex functions of the body they found themselves temporarily occupying. She estimated the integument on the lounger next to her was about 1.8 meters tall when it stood on its two hind limbs. But currently it was lying horizontal, angled to absorb the waning light of the setting star. There was a head, mounted between two smaller upper limbs, which sported a tuft of hair on its top. Two forward-facing optical sensors were located about a third down the skull. Below that, there were holes used for the unit's respiration, and a slit used for the consumption of nutrients that did double duty for communications. The latter was confirmed by the synchronization of the orifice's movement with the vibrations in the surrounding atmosphere containing wave patterns which could be converted into information. It was the basic design for all integuments, Dorian knew, but each one was also a unique variation. This one looked quite pleasant, at least to the body Dorian occupied. It began to move its slit-like mouth again. How many days did you draw? It asked. The last occupant got lucky. They had 14. The integument curled its multipurpose mouth up at both ends, revealing flat white teeth.
An expression of friendliness, Dorian recalled, from the mandatory orientation injected into every download's mind.
But it was still so overwhelming, and Dorian's discomfort translated into a gag. The integument on the other lounger noticed her distress and handed Dorian a bucket. Throw up into that, it directed. Nausea is a common integument response to a new download. It's nothing to be concerned about. The feeling will pass. How long are you here?
7. I drew 7 days.
Dorian stopped to use the proffered bucket.
Felt revolted by the smell of the fluids her integument had expelled, but was somehow feeling better now. She looked up and noted the other integument was still displaying the friendly expression, patiently waiting for a response.
And what should I call you?
She had her body ask.
Taylor.
Taylor swung its legs off the lounger and sat up. Welcome, Dorian, to the Elysian Fields Arcology. You've only got 7 days, so let's put those borrowed senses to work.
I'm happy to meet you, Taylor. Is that an appropriate response?
Taylor's vessel nodded its head, which Dorian's integument interpreted as an affirmative.
How long are you here for, Taylor?
I'm not part of the rotation. I'm the greeter. I help new arrivals get oriented so they can make the most of their time. I need to show you around, so let's get started. I like to take newcomers to the central tower. It's the only place you can view everything from a single location. Otherwise, experience is linear here. If you want to see, say, the Hanging Gardens, you must move your integument there, and that takes a set amount of time. Movement through space is experienced as time, you see. The two are connected in the physical. Taylor got up and started walking away. When Dorian didn't move, the greeter stopped and turned back. Let your host body take over. It knows what to do.
Taylor had been right, Dorian reflected, as they stood together at the top of a great tower which rose from the bedrock to the dome's roof at the center of the arcology. From the single vantage point, they could view the entire structure and landscape beyond its clear, polycarbonate walls.
An unexpected, invisible, gentle caress on the exposed parts of her integument distracted her. Along with the sensation, musty, sweet scents rose from the ground below. Noticing Dorian inhale, Taylor explained. It's the movement of air caused by the environmental system. It is meant to mimic the atmospheric conditions of the planet beyond the protection of the arcology's dome. It picks up molecules emanating from the plants and soil. Many downloads think of the experience as a sublime sensation. However, there are sensations you may not enjoy, such as hunger and pain, if the integument is damaged. Hunger is alleviated by eating, and you'll need to eat soon. Come, I'll show you to your accommodations, then I need to greet another arrival. Dorian followed Taylor back down the tower to the crowded ground level. Downloads in their integuments moved along on their long legs in a confusion of directions. Tall, leafy plants grew along the paths, casting long shadows as the blue-white star dipped toward the horizon. Taylor led Dorian down the widest path, pointing out where there were places to relax in the sun or stroll through the lush greenery. Finally, they stopped in front of a low structure with windows along the sunward side.
This is your place to stay while you are here.
Don't worry about getting lost. Your body knows where everything is. Dorian didn't stay long in the structure. Instead, she had a sudden urge to walk to an eating place overlooking the central lake she had noticed from the tower. She wasn't sure if the thought had been hers or the integument's. However, like candy, surprise and newness were seductive enticements, and Dorian, excited by them, let go to the sensation of being guided by unconscious instinct. She felt like an electron being carried along in a current, and let herself be guided to a place where other downloads were sitting, ingesting, and exchanging thoughts through physical interaction. The sounds, smells, and sensations were intoxicating input, and so distracting she had trouble concentrating. Eventually, Dorian found herself seated at a table on a terrace. The light of the first rising moon in the darkening sky cast long shadows across the landscape beyond the dome. Above, White pinpoints marked the locations of nearby stars, and between them, the infinite black of nothing glared down from the heavens. Dorian found herself drawn into the void. She had never experienced absence before. The luxury of emptiness had been, out of necessity, expunged from the machinery of the Elysian star. There was no darkness, no empty voids, only the noise of data and other minds. In contrast, the arcology was a needed breath of fresh air.
"It's too far away to see from here."
The voice came from a tall, lean-looking integument, standing beside the table, holding a tray of aromatic food, which made Dorian's vessel salivate. She gave the new integument a blank stare.
"I noticed you looking into the darkness between the stars. They say our original home is still out there. It's just too far away for our borrowed eyes to make out. Mind if I sit down?"
Dorian nodded her consent.
"Hello, I'm Landry. It's a beautiful night, isn't it?" "Unfortunately, it's my last. My time is up. However, I can tell you just arrived. You have that look about you."
"And what look would that be?" Dorian quizzed defiantly.
"Fascination, confusion, surprise, delight, and excitement, wrapped in an uncontrollable hunger for more."
Landry set his tray down and took the seat opposite to Dorian, then turned and pointed to a spot halfway between the horizon and the orb of a silvery gray moon.
"See the moving star? It'll get brighter as it climbs higher in the sky. It's hard to believe there are 3 billion of us in that tiny pinpoint of light."
"But that makes sense, doesn't it?" A familiar voice came from the nearby shadows. Taylor emerged and smiled. "Sorry, I didn't mean to eavesdrop. Mass is prohibitively expensive to move across the heavens. The solution was to send a satellite here with only the necessities, then transmit our essence to it. The Elysian star is a testament to the ingenuity of our ancestors, don't you think? How else could we have escaped our dying world? And now, we have the Elysian Fields Arcology, our toehold on this harsh and beautiful new planet. Once the terraforming is finished, we can all come down here." Landry watched Dorian's reaction to Taylor carefully.
"In another 115,000 years, that's if the estimation of 120,000 hasn't changed." Dorian responded, still fixated on the moving pinpoint in the darkness. "I haven't heard anything different, so I'm assuming that timeline still stands, and until then, we have the draw to look forward to."
"The draw, right," Landry groused. "You get reanimated once every 5,000 years, so your pattern doesn't decohere beyond recovery. If you're lucky, you can win an extra 7 days next time you're reanimated."
Dorian swung away from the sky to face Landry and Taylor.
"We all know the numbers, Landry, but right now I'd rather focus on this."
She took in a deep breath and stretched.
"This is intoxicating. It's my first time, and I didn't expect I'd love it so much. It's sad to think it will take over 115 millennia before we can expand beyond the dome. That's 21 more downloads."
"A total of 120,000 years in deep storage minus 168 days downloaded plus the time we've been here,"
Landry noted with a touch of anger.
"That leaves almost another 110,000 years of storage as a decaying pattern. It's a lot of time for stray cosmic rays to ram through your storage matrix, destroying parts of your core pattern and memory. Tell me, how much can either of you remember about our home before the transmission?"
Dorian thought it odd Landry had claimed there were only 110,000 years left. This was her first time downloaded, so it had to be 5,000 years or less since transmission. Had cosmic ray damage already affected more than her memories of their homeworld?
"No, I can't. But then, I don't think anyone recalls it clearly. I know we were supposed to have been physical before we left, but I've only seen recordings in the library. I don't have any memories of being a biological on another world."
"Those memories were deemed expendable, and therefore stored in the outer layers of everyone's matrix. Taylor interrupted.
Where they take the brunt of the cosmic radiation to protect your essence. Which would you rather have? Damage to your core personality, or the loss of your memories of life on a dying world?
Landry picked up a piece of fruit from his tray and began to eat.
7 days to stabilize your personality patterns, he mused between bites. Then, you're back up there.
He nodded at the moving star, which was almost below the horizon now.
A few more in virtual space to check your integrity, then back to long-term offline storage.
There's not enough resources.
Dorian started, then stopped. The dome had been completed by the time they were transmitted. Logically, it could have been expanded, or even another built. Once the dome was constructed, all our resources were dedicated to terraforming. We all agreed to that, Taylor pointed out, as if reading Dorian's thoughts. Changing the subject, the greeter added,
I see you're settling in well, Dorian. That's great.
I thought you were busy orienting new arrivals.
She motioned for Taylor to take a seat.
I am.
The greeter nodded at Landry. It's Landry's time to leave. I'm here to meet the next occupant. Landry looked calmly at Dorian and smiled. His right optical sensor blinked subtly. Then his integument abruptly slumped into its chair, like a power switch had been turned off. Taylor stood up, went over to the now apparently empty body, gently lowered the back of its chair, and placed a small pillow under its head, and waited. After a minute, the body began to spasm. Its arms and legs flailed at the empty air before settling down, as if it had been fighting to keep the new mind out. Finally, its eyes opened, quickly darting from side to side in a bewildered fugue.
It's always disorienting when you first transition.
Taylor's voice was calm and soothing. What should we call you?
Ezra.
The integument sputtered weakly.
Welcome to the Arcology, Ezra. I'm sorry I have to rush, but I have another newcomer to attend to. Quite unusual, really, but Dorian here arrived this afternoon and seems to have adapted well. I'll leave you in their capable hands. You can explore the dome together.
Taylor brought the chair back to its sitting position, motioned for Ezra to keep still, waited another minute, and, finally deciding everything was fine, dashed off. The new arrival watched Taylor until the greeter was out of sight, then miraculously got up as if nothing had happened.
Come on, Dorian,
it whispered conspiratorially.
Let's go. I've got things to tell you. You lead. Take the main path to the lake. I'll follow.
Who are you?
Dorian questioned, staying put in her chair. The integument leaned forward and whispered again.
I'm Landry. I don't want to explain here. I need to look disoriented. Remember, I'm supposed to be new.
Landry started staring around at random points, his integument making exaggerated, jerky, experimental motions.
Please, get up and motion for me to follow,
he encouraged softly so no one could overhear. Dorian was confused. She had only been conscious for a few hours and had spent even less time embedded in a physical body. Her thoughts were still fighting to organize into a state approaching sanity, but there was something about the integument claiming to be Landry which tugged at the thread of a long-forgotten memory. It encouraged her to trust the download inhabiting the wayward integument. Finally deciding, Dorian got up suddenly, bumping the table, sending dishes clattering to the paving stones. No one appeared to notice or care. Clumsiness would be common for the recently arrived, she concluded, then turned toward the pathway and directed the body claiming to contain Landry to follow.
Let me show you around, Ezra,
she said, loud enough to make a show of trying to help the new arrival. Dorian led the way down the narrow path Landry had indicated. Neither said anything until they rounded the small lake in front of the terrace, and the trail turned into the lush greenery, hiding them from unwanted eyes and ears.
I need to explain.
The integument following Dorian pushed by,
then stopped in the middle of the trail, blocking her way.
Some of us have discovered a way to remain in our hosts. I was only pretending to leave to fool the greeter. But every time one of us stays, we have to deflect the new download to a different integument. It's why the greeter had to leave to attend another arrival. They haven't made the connection yet, but it's only a matter of time. I'm taking a huge chance here, but I trust you, if you are whom I believe you to be.
What do you mean? Who do you think I am?
Come on, we don't have much time. We need to get to the dome's outer wall. I'll explain there.
Landry turned onto a narrow, infrequently used path, then picked up the pace. Dorian, still getting used to controlling her body, floundered along behind, trying to keep up. Both stumbled forward, tripping on plant roots and unseen gullies lurking in the black ink of the deepening night.
What's at the dome wall?
Dorian choked out, between desperate gasps, but Landry didn't answer. As they pushed on, Dorian became aware of the sound of twigs cracking underfoot, leaves rustling, the rasp of deep breathing, and the musky smell of soil infused with rotting vegetation. The sensation stirred something deeply buried in her subconscious. With a growing sense of déjà vu, she careened along behind Landry until the path ended at a thick, low wall which acted as the dome's base. Landry stopped and turned to face Dorian.
I know you can't remember. They edit out unwanted memories when you are reloaded into the storage matrix. You've been downloaded before.
Is that why, when we were talking to the greeter, you implied it's been 10,000 years, not 5, since the Elysian Star arrived?
Dorian questioned, gasping to catch her breath. Fragmented images swirled through her mind, trying but failing to integrate into a memory.
I was hoping to trigger your recall. It didn't appear to work, so I brought you to the wall. Dorian, you were the one who taught me how to evade an upload. You showed me the truth in this very spot. It's out there.
Landry pointed to the pale, moonlit landscape beyond the thick polycarbonate glass.
We can live out there. We always could,
Landry explained, anxiously looking around.
The planet doesn't need terraforming. The arcology is part of our prison. Look, I can prove it. Let's go out there and breathe in the air like you once did with me.
In desperation, he grabbed Dorian's arm and dragged her along the wall to a hatch which looked like no one had recently used.
I'm not sure, Dorian hesitated. We can't go outside. There isn't enough oxygen yet. Everyone knows that. It'll take tens of thousands more years.
She protested, trying to pull away. Landry gave up and let go.
But you said you're not sure. You have doubts, right? I know it's hard, but they can't completely erase memories. There's always a residual, however fragmented or weak. Look outside, listen to what I'm saying, and try to remember. We didn't travel between the stars. We never left here. Dorian, this is our home. Remember. We were forced off it and pushed into a tiny toehold and our consciousness uploaded because it was the most expedient method they came up with to get rid of our unwanted masses without entirely killing us off. They allow a few thousand bodies to use for pattern maintenance. They promised us a form of immortality in exchange for our world, but didn't explain we'd be put in cold storage and revived only 7 days in every 5,000 years. They even gave it a glamorous name from our past. The Elysian Star and the tiny reserve dome, the Elysian Fields, a place chosen by the gods for the righteous and heroic. But they're no gods, Dorian. It was an elaborate ruse to cheat us out of our home. But you and I can walk out of here right now and never be uploaded again.
The sound of feet on the path made Landry spin around.
It's the greeter, he exclaimed. They figured it out. We've got to go.
Landry started yanking on a large wheel attached to the wall beside the hatch, but the rusted mechanics refused to budge.
Help me, he pleaded,
Dorian wavered for a moment, then grabbed the other side. Together, they struggled until the wheel began to move with a metallic scraping sound. The footsteps on the path broke into a run as the hatch reluctantly started to open.
"Stop!"
the voice of the greeter commanded. Taylor was accompanied by three large integuments holding stout-looking matte-black metal rods. One had theirs pointed at Landry, who was standing in front of the now half-open hatch. Dorian could feel a cool breeze pushing into the dome from the outside. She took a deep breath, expecting to choke, but didn't, and suddenly a flood of forgotten memories returned.
"Go!"
Dorian yelled at Landry, pushed him into the opening, then turned and charged the greeter. A violet light leapt out from the end of one of the rods, and Dorian's mind began to fall into oblivion.
"I'll remember," she screamed.
"What should I call you?" The voice was off to the side, out of sight.
Dorian.
Dorian replied, feeling disoriented. Somewhere, from a remote crevice in her mind, a stray thought welled up. "Remember," it directed, but she didn't understand what it was asking her to recall.
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by the Calgary Foundation. Whether it's funding anti-racism programs, addiction recovery, or food hampers for the hungry, for 65 years, the Calgary Foundation has proudly supported the charitable community to address some of Calgary's biggest challenges. Now, during this period of unprecedented urgent needs, Calgary Foundation renewed its commitment to building a healthy, vibrant, giving, caring, and resilient community. If you're a registered charity looking for a grant, a professional advisor creating a giving plan for your client, or a donor wanting to give back to a community, discover a wealth of resources at calgaryfoundation.org and learn more about their work through Calgary Foundation's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. This episode is also brought to you by the Alberta Podcast Network. The Alberta Podcast Network builds audiences for Alberta-made podcasts and connects those listeners to Alberta-based businesses, organizations, and community partners. To listen to other great APN podcasts, such as Press Start to Join, where hosts Josh and Alan discuss video games, movies, TV, comics, Star Wars, and more, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. Help support independent Alberta content producers by advertising on the network. To find out more, send an email to hello@albertapodcastnetwork.com. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read and recorded by Mitchell Tu. Audio editing and post-production by Matthew Erdman. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David Hume. To find out more about David, head over to davidhume.me. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.